Brittle Diamonds, Chapter 31. Manure Happens. Monday. Alleged victim is victimized with manure, by Fred Kingsley, Strawford Herald staff writer. Frank Nonick, who recently had the courage to reveal his sexual abuse at the hands of Father Peter, parish priest of Brotherton St. John's Church, returned home last night from an evening out with friends to find his front garden filled with manure. It is believed to be that of local cows. "I never thought he'd stoop as low as this," commented Mr. Nonick last night. "All I've done is my duty in reporting a hideous crime, and this is what I get." Upon inquiry as to whether he knew who might have done it, he replied, "For sure it was that bleating Father Peter. It smells horrible, and the neighbours are already complaining." Asked how he expected to remove the offending material from his premises, his response was, "I'm not removing it. Father Peter is responsible for getting it out of here." While this reporter stood talking to Mr. Nonick, an irate neighbour leaned over the adjoining fence and inquired in angry tones as to when the manure would be gone. "It'll stay here until that bleating priest gets it out," came the indignant retort. Mr. Nonick is clearly a patient man. Father Peter was indisposed and unavailable for comment. Chapter 32. Manure Strikes a Second Time. Monday. Matt rang Rosa the next evening from his cramped room at the Jennet. He was in a foul mood. "How are things going?" he asked. "Well, they're pretty interesting," his wife replied. "What do you mean?" "It's a pity you weren't here to read the paper this morning."
"How come?"
"Somebody took it into their head to dump a huge load of cow manure on Frank Nonick's front garden."
"You're joking. When was that?"
Matt smiled to himself. "Yesterday evening, while Frank was out carousing."
"I bet he's as mad as anything. Any idea who did it?"
"Frank's blaming Father Peter, of course."
"How could Father Peter manage a feat like that? He'd have to steal a tractor at the dead of night, always supposing he knew how to drive one, that is, and scoop up a load of manure unseen before cruising noisily through town to deposit it. That's plain impossible."
"Somehow that didn't enter into the debate."
"I'll bet it didn't. What did Father Peter say?"
"Apparently he was unavailable for comment."
"That's a shame. Why not?"
"His spokesman said he was indisposed and unable to talk to reporters right now." There was a pause on the other end of the phone. "Matt, you okay?"
"Yes," he said. "It's just that you and I know it's true, don't we? But the public will think he doesn't want to admit to yet another supposed crime."
"I know. There's only one person who could have done it."
"Who?"
"Farmer Jeffries. I was talking to Catherine, who was at church on Sunday, and she says he's a staunch supporter of Father Peter's."
"I'm pleased to hear it."
"So was I, and it makes sense that he'd do it, doesn't it?"
"Yes. How is Nonick going to get rid of the stuff? It must smell awful."
"Well, his neighbours are complaining, but he says Father Peter dumped it, so Father Peter can remove it. Until then, it stays put."
"Glad I don't live near him."
"Me too. How'd it go at your end?"
"Badly, very badly. I'm coming home tomorrow."
And Matt proceeded to tell his wife about his day. He was exhausted and thoroughly depressed. He knew his mission was going to be difficult as soon as he realised the headmaster had overheard his entire conversation with Jack Roper, the landlord. But Father David's resolute declaration that there were no records whatsoever about Frank Nonick was still a nasty surprise.
"Do you mean that there is no documentation to prove that he was even here at the monastery?"
Matt asked the genial-looking man over coffee.
"I'm afraid that's exactly what I mean," came the reply.
Matt hastily put his cup and saucer down on the gleaming walnut table, separating him from the headmaster, in the sitting room furnished with antiques where they sat. Then a happy thought occurred to him. He turned his head to one side and squinted his eyes.
"If no proof exists that Mr. Nonick, was here, then there's no proof he could have been assaulted by Father Peter, is there?"
"I admire your logic, Mr. Goldsworth, but unfortunately members of the Child Protection Management Team have been here before you and obtained statements from our older members of staff as well as some elderly village residents to corroborate Mr. Nonick's assertion of being a seminarian here.
Matt looked crestfallen. But you must have some records, surely.
I completely agree with you, Mr. Goldworth. And believe me, I am as at great a loss as you to understand why we do not have them in our possession.
With that, Matt was forced to leave. He could think of no excuse to snoop sleuth fashion, even though he just knew the man was hiding something. It was galling to have come all this way with such high expectations of being able to clear his friend's name and leave with nothing. He was in too bad a mood to drive home that night and decided to stay another night. He would share his frustration with Rosa tomorrow when he'd calmed down a bit. She was in on this too, unlike his London work, where disappointments weren't shared with or even admitted to anyone else. He was glad he'd phoned her. The news about Frank's ruined garden cheered him up. At least Manure happened to other people too, not just him.